Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented, clever individuals who are going to try and speak on a subject they give them and show off their skill with words and language as they don't hesitate, repeat things or deviate from that subject. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair, and seated on my left, Graham Norton and Josie Lawrence. Will you please welcome all four of them? And seated beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score. She will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And the audience are now hushed. So we're going to begin the show this week with Graham Norton, and who better? Graham. Oh, how to make small talk at parties. Can you talk on that subject? 60 seconds, starting now.
Compliments are the key to making small talk at parties. You meet a man, you say, hey, have you been working out? And if you encounter a woman, even if you have never seen her before in your life, you say, have you lost weight? And they will be delighted. They can't wait to pass on the hors d'oeuvres to you because you will now be their favorite person at the party. How to make small talk at a party. Avoid your idea for introducing the death penalty and don't go on about difficult subjects that I can't. I took my own advice there.
Oh, new challenge.
I think it was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation, yes. We loved it all. Well done, Graham. But, Graham, you... And you went for 40 seconds.
Pretty... Oh. I didn't jump through a hoop. I talked for 40 seconds.
But, Paul, correct challenge. So you get a point for a correct challenge in this game, and you take over the subject, and you have 20 seconds available. How to make small talk at parties, starting now.
You know, I have these little tiny plates of food that come round. Tiny, oh.
Jenny Challenge.
He said tiny twice. I couldn't leave it.
Right. So you've got him in 16 seconds ago, Jenny, on how to make a small talk at parties, starting now.
Try not to dribble, and if you do, do not say, oh, it's either one end or the other, which I did at a party quite recently, to which the gentleman in question recoiled in horror. Keep to safe topics such as food, holidays, have you ever been...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Jenny Eclair, and so she now has 2 points, Paul has one, the others have yet to score, and Josie, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject, oh, a lovely one, smoothies. Tell us something about smoothies in this game, starting now.
I wake up in the morning and think, hooray, I'm going to make myself a breakfast smoothie. I love making smoothies. There I am in the kitchen, in front of me, my second favourite electrical appliance in all the world, the liquidiser. In I chuck bananas, peeled, pummets of strawberries, a green apple with a core still attached for roughage.
Deviation from a proper smoothie. You can't put apples in smoothies, can you? Can you?
It sweetens them.
Oh, right. Oh,
yes.
Do you put lemon juice in to stop it going brown?
Yes. Unless you want a brown smoothie.
Oh, that's
right. I withdraw my challenge.
Incorrect challenge, Josie, so you have a point for that. There are 37 seconds for you to tell us more about these mouth-watering smoothies, starting now.
Walnuts for the brain, Greek yogurt. It has to be that particular kind of white stuff, else I don't want to know. I put the lid on and then turn on the volume. No, not the volume.
This is going to be messy, isn't it? Yes. She's put the radio on and she's getting confused between her electrical appliances. I don't think she should be allowed in a kitchen because there's sharp knives in there. She could harm herself.
I meant to say knob.
Yeah. That's Graham's job.
No. So let's come back to the person who challenged, which was Paul.
Oh, it was deviation.
Deviation, right.
Yes.
25 seconds, Paul, on smoothies starting now.
So, yeah, if you're going to make small talk at parties, you go up to somebody and you say, I'm very good at making smoothies. What I do is I get fresh ingredients from one of the more leading supermarkets that you find in your high street, and I put them all together in a glass container and whiz themselves up in the morning. What a wonderful treat it is. I like turning into a breakfast DJ. And if you want to have a really good raspberry smoothie, I recommend you use that fruit, because if you put strawberries in, it's going to take more like that and run.
Paul, you were speaking as a whistle when you gained that extra point, and you are now in the lead ahead of Jenny Eclair and Josie Lawrence and Graham Norton. Jenny, will you begin the next round? The subject is internet dating. 60 seconds, starting now.
Never had the need myself. I've always been able to pull on the bus.
Graham challenged.
Even she couldn't struggle through that lie. There was a hesitation in the
middle. There was a hesitation.
There was a slur and a hesitation.
Yeah, but Graham can only have 1 point. I think that's quite sufficient. 57 seconds, Graham. Internet dating starting now.
Internet dating is, of course, very nervous-making, because you meet someone lovely online, you arrange to meet them, and then something that looks like your
Josie Chalmers.
He sort of stumbled during like by laughing, but he did say meet twice as well, which I'm sorry.
Did I?
Yep.
So, okay. Josie, you've got in with 42 seconds on internet dating starting now.
I did try internet dating once, actually. It was a wonderful...
Chalmers.
Would suggest a hesitation.
That was the name of the man I had the date with. He was from Norway.
It didn't come over like that, Josie.
No, you're quite right.
So, Graham, you're back in with 37 seconds on internet dating starting now.
Internet dating is perhaps best used if you are interested in niche dating. That would mean somebody who likes something...
Jenny, your chance.
He did hesitate, and I think it was a good job, because I think he was going to get a little bit specific.
I think he was slowly running down to a halt then, yes.
Yes. Yeah. No, thank you, Jenny.
So we interpret that as hesitation, and internet dating is with you, Jenny, now. 25 seconds, starting now.
The thing is, people lie. If I wanted to go on internet dating, I'd put a picture of Cindy Crawford in and say, look at me, I'm 24 years old and so much fun. The actual truth is I'm a horrible 51-year-old, bad-tempered cow, but nobody wants to meet anyone like that. So that's why the whole system is full of absolute fibs, lies, slant.
Graham Chalmers.
Repetition of lies, but now I've got the stupid subject back.
Yes.
Oh, and also, no, you're not, Jenny. Was I a bit slow with that?
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, sorry.
I was waiting for an interruption before then. Thank you very much.
Half a second. Graham, internet dating starting now.
My favourite...
So Graham Norton speaks as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's now taken the lead ahead of the other three. And Paul Merton, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject now is plankton. Can you tell us something about plankton in this game, starting now?
Plankton is very small fish that swim around the sea in large millions of them groups, and whales come along and eat plankton. It seems to be what the whale mainly considers to be its diet is plankton.
Graham Challenge.
I think a hesitation.
I think it was too, yes. 47 seconds, Graham. Plankton with you, starting now.
Judging from the size of whales, one can only imagine just how calorific plankton is. Because it doesn't look that filling, to be honest. In fact, you cannot see it with the naked eye. Write in if that's wrong. I'm not really sure.
Paul Challenge.
No, you can see it. Deviation.
So that's deviation. Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah.
And then the whale comes along, opens his mouth, and a great shoal of little plankton goes
Oh, speak slow. I'm trying to write this down.
Paul, a correct challenge. 31 seconds. Plankton starting now.
When I looked around the people at my CSE maths class, I realised that I was with them. One of us was plankton and all of us were. We were very stupid people. We were right at the bottom of the educational tree.
Jodie Challenge.
It was about three we wers then.
We were, yes.
Absolutely.
So 20 seconds, Josie, on plankton starting now.
Plankton is indeed a living organism. I have swum in a sea at night, and the plankton lights up by the light of the moon.
Sorry, sure Josie knows light and light. She was right. Keep going, darling. It's fascinating. Very bad challenge. Very poor.
Don't bother to apologise. Yeah. She gets another point. Yeah. And she moves forward with 11 seconds on plankton starting now.
You look like a beautiful sea creature, a mermaid. You're lit up blue.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of sea.
Sea, yes.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Right, Paul. 5 seconds on plankton, starting now.
I once had a pair of underpants made out of plankton, which was awfully difficult when I got to Swansea, because as I said, whales and plankton, you know what I mean. They go, when...
So, Paul Mutton, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now moved one ahead of Graham Norton and two ahead of Josie Lawrence and Jenny Eclair. Graham, it's your turn to begin. The subject is creepy houses. Tell us something about creepy houses in this game starting now.
The thing is, houses are houses, but sometimes a house is not a home. I live somewhere where my sister claims it's haunted. She and my brother-in-law have heard things on the stairs in the middle of the night. Now, I don't like to tell her what those sounds are, but I'm pretty sure my house does not have a ghost or a creepy...
Jenny Janet.
Two ghosts.
Were there? Yeah. I was thinking if I said haunted, I didn't know what I...
So, Jenny, you've gone in with... 32 seconds on creepy houses starting now.
Net curtains and gnomes are often the sign of a serial killer, so have a good look at what you've got living next door to you. Often it's not just haunted houses that are creepy. Maybe divorcing couples can leave a stain of upset soaked into the carpet. I think estate agents should be more honest and say things like, a 13-year-old shouldn't be left here alone at night. Or if you're a little bit of the depressive type, don't buy this house. It's really not a happy...
Some houses, you go in, and when the floorboards creak, they're not just creaking, they're crying. I had a happy ghost in mine.
Oh, no. Good.
Yes, we had one once in a house I owned once. He used to come out at night and chat, but could never see him. And the,
Was that just the radio, Nicholas?
So, what is the situation, and who was speaking then with the whistle? Jenny was, yes? And she's now in second place, alongside Graham Norton and Josie Lawrence. They're 1 point behind Paul Mutton, who's in the lead. And Josie, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, after all the creepiness we've had, leaving on a high is the subject. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I always like to leave a party on a high. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for laughing at all my jokes, complimenting me on my fashion sense and beauty. See you all at the next big do. But usually I leave on a, all right, I'm going. Sod the lot of you. There's somewhere around here that'll serve me. that wasn't made up.
Well, as an actress, you got your round of applause, my darling, but it was a big pause. So, Jenny, you've gone in first. Leaving on a high is with you, Jenny, and the 33 seconds available starting now.
You can leave on a high if you commit suicide jumping off Beachy Head. It's quite a high place to leap from. What are the highs?
Paul Chalmers.
Hesitation.
Yeah.
Yes, hesitation, Paul. And you have 24 seconds leaving on a high starting now.
When this programme eventually comes to an end, and it's been running now since the 1960s, and I don't imagine its end will...
Graham, challenge?
Repetition of end, or maybe stopped. He ended anyway.
Yes.
Yes. Hesitation, deviation, repetition, I don't know. He seems to have finished.
I think it's a correct challenge. You have it anyway. 16 seconds. Leaving on a high, starting now.
The last time I was at Beachy Head, and this is true, I met an old lady coming down the hill, and as she passed, she went, oh, talked myself out of it, which I thought was very cheery. And something so British about that woman in her woolly hat.
So Graham Norton was then speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point is now equal in the lead with Paul Mutton, and the other two are just behind them. And Jenny, we'd like you to begin the next round. My favourite shoes Tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
My favourite shoes are the point shoes I wore to my successful audition at the Royal School of Ballet. This was when I was 11 years old. Before that, my favourite shoes were a black patent pair of Mary Janes. Do you remember those? How sweet and charming we looked in the 1960s with our lacy tights. Those favourite shoes meant party time. The great thing about shiny shoes is that if you eat too many sausage rolls and jelly, ice cream, cake, etc., and are sick on said shoes, they can be hosed down, unlike suede shoes, which are no good at all and are never my favourite. Don't fall in love with a pair of new bucks because they will never see you out and will only let you down and stain heavily. That's all I'm trying to say. Of course. What? Stop it. Oh. I got stared out of it.
Paul, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah, there was, yes. 10 seconds, Paul, and another point to you. My favourite shoes, starting now.
My favourite shoes happen to be the shoes I'm wearing at this very moment. The right is very similar to the left, although there are subtle differences. Perhaps, if you think of it as a shoe, I would...
So, Paul Martin, then, speaking as the whistle, Wayne gained an extra point. He's moved forward, and he's just ahead of the other three. They're all very close, but Paul's just in the lead, then Graham, and then Jenny, and then Josie, in that order. Paul, your turn to begin, and the subject is dog lovers. Tell us something about those people in this game, starting now.
Dog lovers are recognised by their love of dogs. You see them walking down the street and they'll have a dog with them on a lead or a leash, and they will indicate to this animal where it should empty itself on the pavement or sidewalk, if you happen to be an American. And this mess is deposited downwards onto the ground, and then the lucky dog owner says, I'm going to put that in my pocket, and gets a bag and puts it all over the excreta, which then fits nicely away or put into a bin. Dog owners, dog lovers.
Yes.
Owners.
Yes.
And Was it me? I just said it.
No.
It was me.
The subject is dog lovers.
Yes.
And he's repeating dog owners.
Yes, I heard that and said it aloud.
Yes. And you picked it up very cleverly.
Yes.
And you got a correct challenge.
Yes.
And you're now going to give us your talent with 28 seconds to go on dog lovers, starting now.
I count myself amongst dog lovers. But I'm not a crazy person. I'm not one of those women you see in a pub kissing the dog.
Ugh.
That's wrong. They've crossed a line. Back off the mutt, crazy lady.
Jenny, challenge.
Two crazies.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The worst.
It's true.
Yes. 9 seconds, Jenny. You've got him on dog lovers, starting now.
The trouble with dog lovers is that you can't trust them not to leave all...
Graham, challenge.
You can trust them, Jenny. I felt slighted there by Jenny. Having just said, I am a dog lover, she then goes on radio and says, they can't be trusted.
No, she didn't say that, Graham. She said, they can't be trusted, and she's going to explain why.
Yes. I couldn't wait. All right, then.
So, an incorrect challenge. She has another point. 5 seconds, Jenny. Dog lovers are starting now.
To leave all their worldly goods to dog homes. What a waste. How furious I would...
So, Jenny Clare was speaking to Whistle Wench, and she had an extra point, of course. She's now equal with Paul Merton in the lead, just ahead of Graham Norton and Josie Lawrence in that sequence. And, Graham, we're with you to begin. Oh, erudite subject. The pharaohs. Will you tell us something about the pharaohs? By your look on your face, you wish you hadn't got the subject. But anyway, do your best. 60 seconds are starting now.
How lucky that I happen to be a leading world expert on Egyptology. I hope I don't bore you over the next 60 seconds as I reveal some of the fun and interesting facts about the pharaohs. Let's start simple, hey? They lived in Egypt. That's abroad. They lived in... Oh, I said lived, that's right.
Do you know, that round of applause indicates to me that you should deserve a bonus point for what you did. Josie.
We all learnt a lot. Thank you.
Yes.
If anyone wants to come and talk to me after the show, any questions about it?
But Josie, you challenged. What was your challenge?
They learnt twice.
That's right, yes. We've got the subject of the Pharaohs. 38 seconds, Josie, starting now.
I love going down to the British Museum. They have a wonderful section full of everything about the Egyptians.
Sort of hesitation.
Yes, it was.
You were
searching for Egyptology, I think.
I concur.
Yes, right. So, Paul, you've got 29 seconds to tell us something about the pharaohs starting now.
Call that a pyramid, I wouldn't be seen dead in it. Mind you, Ramesses II was a very fair pharaoh. He was known to the Egyptian people as the fairest pharaoh of...
Josie Towns.
No.
It was fair the first time and fairest the second
time. Absolutely.
He's made a fool of you, Joseph.
Well, it was Ramesses III, actually.
That was never his intention, but he's so clever at the game that he can do those sort of things, right? Paul, incorrect challenge. The pharaohs, 18 seconds starting now.
18 seconds, soon to become 15. The belief of the pharaohs was that they would be buried with their precious objects, their artifacts. This would aid their entrance into the new world after their death. They would be welcomed into the firmament of the sky, the great heavens. The gods before them would say, "Have you brought your pencil case?"
So Paul was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's now a couple of points ahead of Jenny Eclair and Graham Norton, equal in second place, then Josie Lawrence. And Josie, we'd like you to begin the next round. Crackers. You can take it any way you like. Tell us something about crackers in this game, starting now.
Crackers. There are lots of crackers. Ooh, crackers. A biscuit with cheese on. I'm getting married in China. Let's light some Chinese firecrackers. Oh, that man's a bit off his chump. He's crackers. I'm a poet. What can I get to rhyme with "I live in Caracas"? These are all terms for crackers. They're very dry, and one of the best party games to play is to see how many crackers you can put inside your mouth without taking a drink. You can tell what a fun girl I am. It makes your tongue all crusty. Crackers, when they are wet, are the weirdest things in all the world.
Paul Challenge.
Deviation. I don't think a wet cracker is the weirdest thing in all the world.
Yes, but you don't live inside my head.
That is the weirdest thing in all the world.
I think the benefit of the doubt goes to Josie, all right. Crackers, with you, Josie. 17 seconds starting now.
No, honestly, if you soak crackers in stale milk and roll them between the palms of...
Graham Challenge.
Why would anyone do that?
Well, I told you it was weird.
Yeah, it's stupid is what it is.
Graham, it may be stupid, but she can still express it in this game.
You're quite right. I lashed out, Josie. I apologise. I'm putting my buzzer down now. Right.
11 seconds, Josie, on crackers starting now.
I discovered this when I was camping. With the said liquid that comes from a cow and remains very old, you get your cracker and put it between these...
Paul Challenge.
But there was a hesitation there.
I was trying to think
of another word for hands.
Paul, you've got him with half a second
half
to go.
Half a second. Oh. I know, I'm as disappointed as you are.
But it was a correct challenge. And you were very generous last time. You said that Josie should have the benefit of the doubt.
Thanks,
so this
Paul.
Balances it out now. Half a second, Paul, on crackers starting now.
Jacobs!
So Paul Merton then was speaking as the whistle went again. That extra point has increased his lead ahead of Jenny Eclair and Graham Norton, equal in second place. Only one point behind them is Josie Lawrence. And I've heard we're going into the final round. Let me give the situation as we do. It's very close. Josie Lawrence, Jenny Eclair and Graham Norton. Only one point separates all three of them in second place behind Paul Merton. And who is it now? Jenny, a back rub. Are you all for those sort of things?
No.
Try and talk on the subject if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
I have no need for back rubs ever since I started Pilates. Yes, I might bore on about that form of exercise for a while, because about 6 months ago...
Graham Challenge.
That would be deviation, then.
Why?
She's talking about Pilates. She just told us she's going to wang on about Pilates for some time. where the subject is a back rub.
Yeah, that's true. It's not Pilates, it's a back rub. Well
but
done.
But the Pilates...
Yeah, no.
is what has deemed the back rub not necessary anymore.
But that's talking about something else.
No. I mean, the benefit of that goes to you, Graham. Yes, it is a back rub and not Pilates. So 51 seconds with you, Graham, starting now.
I cannot bear the touch of another human being. So when I need a back rub, I put small amounts of dog food on my back and then unleash the hounds. Their large paws manipulate the muscles of that area just as effectively as the tiny...
Poor chance.
I think this is the saddest thing I've ever heard. TV favourite Graham Norton has no friends in the human world. When he wants a back rub, he has to stick bits of dog food to his back.
Oh, well, when you put it like that, Paul...
Yeah, the awful thing is, Paul, that he wasn't deviating within the rules of just a minute.
No, but I think we should show him some sympathy, though.
Well, we've shown him sympathy, and we are horrified at the thought of what he goes through, but I think you have the benefit of the doubt again, Graham, and you say I have a back rub, 31 seconds starting now.
When I was in Cuba, I didn't have my beast of a canine variety with me, and the dogs... Oh, I've said that. After all that, I think I say dogs again.
Right, Josie, you challenge.
He said dogs.
Yes, he said dog before. 22 seconds, a back rub with you, Josie, starting now.
I had the most fantastic back rub once from a Russian on a cargo ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. But my mum's listening to this programme, so I won't say any more about that. Granny Griffin...
Paul challenge.
I thought it was a hesitation, but I'd actually...
There was a slight hesitation, yes. And I've given the benefit of the doubt against you twice, Paul, so I'll give you the benefit of the doubt now and say you have 8 seconds on a back rub starting now.
A back rub for me is best done by an alligator. What you do is you get a dead duck round your back and this said creature comes up and starts biting. You have to go to Florida, mind you, because that's where they all live.
So, as I said a short while ago, this was to be the final round, so let me say it was a very even contest. Graham Norton, Josie Lawrence and Jenny Eclair were all equal in second place, only 1 point separating the three of them, but a few points ahead of them was Paul Merton, so we say, this week, Paul, you are our winner. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine, intrepid players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Josie Lawrence and Graham Norton. I think Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds elapsed. We're grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. We're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. So from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel here, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes.
And you can join Nicholas Parsons at 6:30 next Monday evening when his guests will be Paul Merton, Stephen Fry, Sue Perkins and Fee Glover.